Hey, everybody. I'm Daryl Cagle, and I'm talking with conservative editorial cartoonists today, two great conservative cartoonists, Gary McCoy and Rivers. In addition to his editorial cartoons, Gary draws two newspaper comic strips, The Flying McCoys and The Duplex, which is just crazy, and it's hard to imagine how any one person can do that. And Rivers draws anonymously, which is the reason why Rivers is wearing a disguise and has an altered voice. But I should say that our Cagle Cartoons newspaper syndicate is happy to work with Rivers anonymously, and we think that cartoonists around the world who may be harassed or persecuted for their cartoons should be able to work anonymously with the support of a credible journalism organization. And we're happy to do that with Rivers for whatever reason that Rivers wants to be anonymous. And we encourage other syndicates to do the same. And it should not be such an odd circumstance, because I think it does good in the world for people to be able to express their opinions responsibly and more freely. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Daryl. It's a pleasure. I also am wearing a disguise. I look like Madonna when I take it off.
You do. So don't take it off.
Yeah, please.
Conservative cartoonists are a small minority among the cartoonists at large. And perhaps you feel marginalized. Perhaps you feel like you're just a tiny corner of this big community of editorial cartoonists. I'd like to know your feelings about being the unusual conservative cartoonist.
I used to be a liberal, right? So my history was being somewhat of a liberal guy with liberal views. Obama was my guy for two terms. Towards the second part of the second term, I stopped enjoying Obama so much. And I just started becoming more conservative in my views. It's like what Ronald Reagan said. It's enough that he left the Democrat Party, but the Democrat Party left him. And I think that as the Democrats become more almost loony, not almost, but loony, I find myself being isolated and I tend to agree more with conservatives.
Okay. How about you, Gary? How do you feel being in the minority?
Not easy nowadays. I was possibly a liberal when I was late teens, but I kind of started evolving on my own. I used to cut out George Will columns out of the newspaper, the Post-Dispatch, and Cal Thomas and Mona Sharon. And I had a shoebox full of their columns. So kind of formed my ideology throughout the subsequent decade. And then when Rush came along, he was a big influence. So my parents were both from largely Democratic families. My dad was a Teamster his whole life, truck driver. But I don't think they were really ideologically liberal, but that's the party that they grew up in, because they didn't come from money. So they were taught young, like many, that the Republicans are only out for the rich, even though that's not true, but that's the way many generations grew up thinking. But nowadays, the tolerance for conservatives isn't what it is, vice versa, for liberals. I've lost on Facebook probably a couple hundred friends easily that have unfriended me, guys, girls that have unfriended me because of my politics. And I've never unfriended anyone for their politics. And that's just a strange thing I've noticed, is that there's my liberal friend, rather than unfollow me, they just rather just not have anything to do with me. It's strange.
Maybe it's that gun behind you.
That's a prop in case the ATF is watching.
So very good, gentlemen. Gary, let's start off with your cartoons. This is actually your most popular cartoon that you ever did in terms of the number of papers that ran it. The editors just love this cartoon. You've got two graduates. It's a graduation day cartoon. And I should say editors just love holidays. Graduation is like a holiday that lasts a month. And the girl graduate says,
"My degree is in engineering."
The boy graduate says,
"My degree is in arguing politics with people on social media."
I can see why the editors like that.
I think you had mentioned, Daryl, how editors like cartoons that, was it like any cartoon on social media or cartoons pointing out the negatives of social media?
They like cartoons that are not liberal or conservative. And you'll notice when I show you your popular cartoons that they don't have Biden or Trump or any kind of real political point of view. That's just the nature of where newspapers are. Here is your second most popular cartoon ever, It's a Christmas cartoon. Again, holiday cartoons are the most popular. You've got the two reindeers talking together, and one says,
"Personally, I've been in favor of social distancing for a long time."
COVID cartoons, they took over everything for their 2-3 years.
Right, right. And again, cartoons like this for me are fairly easy to think of because I guess my background is more in doing gag cartoons and gag writing. So this, again, was seasonal and topical, both Christmas and COVID at the time. So it was pretty easy one for me to come up with.
And this one is your third most popular. You've got the donkey talking to the Republican elephant. Democrat donkey says, "Let's commit to working together in the new year." And Republican says,
"You bet, old pal."
And then they turn around and have the kick me notes on their back.
Yeah. Striking both sides. And that's just something that's timeless. It will always be that the two parties, no matter how much they profess to hit end agreements and be bipartisan, especially now, I think the divide is greater than probably it ever has been. Maybe it's because of the leaders we've had in recent years. Obama was very divisive, and Trump too, even though I'm a Trump supporter, but there's no denying he was divisive, although I don't think as much as either Obama or Biden are. He attacked the press, I think, just as much as anything else.
Well, I do notice that you guys drew Trump a lot less than the liberal cartoonists did. Anytime a cartoonist drew Trump, that pretty much guaranteed the cartoon wasn't going to be printed. The editors just didn't want Trump cartoons. And I also noticed that in the cartoons that you gave me today for this podcast, neither of you gave me any Trump cartoons.
It's true. I think I came across one I considered and found other ones that I liked better.
So here you've got two boys talking to each other. Grandpa's sitting in a chair and he's holding the little baby looking like a very happy grandpa. One boy says to the other,
"That's my grandpa holding my baby sister. Be careful. President Biden says he's a dangerous extremist."
I love pointing out in my cartoons things like this that the media doesn't really cover unless it's right-wing media, but Biden seems so hateful despite all of his appeals for unity. But this one, again, struck me fairly easy to come up with because when he talks about those evil MAGA voters and the MAGA movement were comprised of everybody on the spectrum. And again, just examples like this, an old man who just simply voted Trump because he liked what he stood for and what he did for the country. But he wasn't a dangerous extremist as Biden portrayed them as.
Biden's looking at a Russian tank and he says, "Thank you in advance for keeping your incursion minor." This doesn't fit my liberal version of what Biden is because he's pushing for all the money for Ukraine and he's quite the cheerleader for the war in Ukraine. And I'm hearing conservative voices angry at him for that, that are more isolationist voices. So what's up with this?
Well, this was right after Russia invaded Ukraine. And you'll remember he gave that speech on the world stage where he was asked his views on Russia amassing its troops near the Ukraine border and the threats Putin was making. And he said something to the effect, if the incursion was minor, then, you know, then it would be okay. Not his exact words, but in essence, that's what he said. And many people on the left and right would agree that it was that kind of weak statement from Biden that may have given Putin the idea that he can go ahead with it and invade Ukraine. It wasn't a very strong, stern warning, don't do it, anything like that.
Yeah, I certainly didn't get that. I guess the conservative point of view, you're seeing an entirely different world than I do.
So he did say it's a minor incursion. And then it was right after that that Putin invaded. I get most of my news from, you know, middle right or right. But to me, even had I not gotten anything from the media itself, I was kind of aghast when he said that. It got a lot of play, I think, in whatever media you listen to.
Not that I heard it. Maybe just in the right-wing media.
Okay. Well, do you recall his statement at all where he said that?
Or? No, I recall him always being a hawk on this.
Oh, no, he said that. It's, you know, later on I can send you a link. I'm sure it's on YouTube. But he said something to the effect that as long as it's a minor incursion.
Well, it's not like anybody saw this cartoon anyway. It's got Biden in it.
Right.
Here's another Biden cartoon. Take that, Putin, with the gas at $5 a gallon.
I mean, talking about how the sanctions were going to hurt Russia, and then the ruble took off and did better than the U.S. dollar. No real sign that the sanctions had any effect, and people still continue to die in Ukraine. But Americans are suffering. That's why I did this cartoon. Take that, Putin.
Yeah, it's a great cartoon. I kind of remember what Gary was talking about, the small incursion. I also remember Biden saying that if we send tanks into Ukraine, that was World War III. Well, I guess that's what we're doing.
They certainly took Crimea. They took a good chunk of the East before that, and they took the northern part of Georgia. Mm-hmm. We had a tradition of just letting them do that.
Yeah, and I'd like
tradition
to point
that
out
goes back many decades.
Yes, but I'd like to point out that those weren't during the Trump years. Those were during the Obama years. So I love doing that because, and also this invasion happened during the Biden years. You can make the argument that this may not have happened had Trump won the election.
That sounds so unlikely since Trump was so pro-Putin on all of this.
Well, he was.
He was quite anti-Ukraine guy with all of his Ukraine nonsense.
Right.
So it's hard to imagine him supporting Ukraine.
So when you say pro-Putin, this is where, you know, different worlds again, because with Trump, the way I see it, he just wanted to get along with Putin because he saw Putin as being a nuclear power. He's the head of a nuclear power. And as he said many times, isn't it better to get along with these guys? That's why he got along with Kim Jong-un. It's better to kind of make friends.
He's quite explicit about it, and he's pretty darn anti-sending aid to Ukraine. Not that relevant since he's not president now, but it's certainly pretty explicit now.
Well, we are sending a lot of aid to the Ukraine. A lot of tax dollars are going over there. So I think a lot of people are starting to wonder, you know, are we just throwing money out? When you consider how many social issues are happening here, you have people that are living on the street. You have vets that are needing assistance. So all of this money is going over to Ukraine.
I think Ukraine's an important issue. And it's frustrating to me as the guy that runs the editorial cartoon business that the cartoons about Ukraine are ignored by editors broadly, as is anything that happens out of America's borders. It's frustrating. So here's Biden, and he's got little baby President Zelensky on his lap, and he's given him a big, giant bottle of $40 billion of Ukraine aid to the baby Zelensky. But then there's a poor American baby who's not so fat, who has a tiny little bottle and just isn't getting much milk.
I think that kind of speaks to what I just said.
It does. It illustrates your comments.
It does. And we have to examine whether or not this is actually doing any good, because obviously Putin's had some issues, you know, with his plans to invade Ukraine. But at the same time, they are talking about another offensive, and it almost seems like it's going to be inevitable unless we continue to send more aid. And then the question is, how much do we want to keep doing? How much involvement once we start sending fighters? Are we not kind of like baby stepping into the Third World War? And that's something that we should all be very concerned about.
Okay. So moving along, Gary, on your cartoons, we're going into your Fauci cartoons. Another crazy thing about conservatives, I think, is their universal disgust with Dr. Fauci. And you guys do draw it. And here's a couple of guys talking to each other. One is a guy who loves vaccine. He's got a heart and a needle on his chest, just showing his love graphically. And he says he's got this giant Fauci head growth popping out of his back like a tumor. And he says, the Fauci head? Oh, it didn't start sprouting until after my fourth booster, but I'm okay with it. So, Gary, what's going on here? Are you shouting out how vaccines are unsafe?
Not only that, which has been proven true lately, just media, everyone's love affair with this guy. You had MSNBC anchors with Fauci pillows. You had the Michigan governor with like little Fauci dolls on her bookshelves behind her. The emails, the everything that's come out between him and the NIH director about squashing any conspiracy theorists in the face of the facts that early on there was word that the virus escaped from the Wuhan lab, and everybody just kept doing whatever he said. He could profess that masks aren't needed, and then masks are needed, and then he's at a baseball game not wearing a mask. And I just couldn't stand his hypocrisy. I just couldn't stand the side of him pretty much at a point when he was pretty much controlling our country's COVID policy. My son's school, luckily, he goes to a Catholic school. So his school didn't really shut down at all. And yet all around him, all the public schools in this area and like throughout the country were shutting down. And now we find out how that harmed the children when it was never really necessary. Countries in Europe that didn't shut down, the kids fared no worse than they did here. And it was just all of that, the way he controlled so much and hurt so many people with his policies. My wife was going to lose her job at a local hospital because she wasn't vaccinated. I wrote a letter of exemption for her based on religious reasons, and she was granted that. But the fact that she could have lost her job, which would have been our health insurance, and other people who did, all because of this guy who, the highest paid government bureaucrat, and has been proven to have lied. And so my frustration with this cartoon, obviously, was with the people who just did, you know, the Fauci yard signs, did everything this guy said and didn't question it at all. And the good thing about doing editorial cartoons, I don't know, this probably maybe never got picked up, but I know there are like-minded people like me out there, lots of them, and people who saw the truth. And it's a way for me to connect with them. And I'm sure I got a few, you know, hell yeahs out of it.
Very few, because I'm guessing it didn't get reprinted much. And, it, you know, this stuff does sound like the conservative crazy to me.
Your conservative crazy, my conservative truth. I get it.
So here's another Fauci cartoon. You love the Fauci cartoons. You've got four panels. It says, things proven to be ineffective against COVID, cloth masks, plexiglass barriers, spraying packages, and this guy, Fauci. Fauci bashing. I mean, you guys have such passion about him. Crazy that he draws passion.
So it does appear that COVID-19 came from Wuhan. They've just admitted to it. And so the question is, what was the U.S.'s role in this? What was Fauci's role? And of course, now it's come out that Echo Health, that it was funded through Echo Health. And there's been somewhat of a, I think Elon Musk tweeted something to that effect. So this guy went in front of Congress and said, well, you know, he hadn't been doing gain of function research. And of course, it really comes down to semantics. What was he doing? I think that he's far more involved in this stuff than he's letting on. And the other thing I don't understand about liberals is, how is it that Fauci can do things like experiment on beagles? And the kind of experiments were extremely torturous. And how is it that liberals just kind of went, oh, no issue, just a shoulder shrug? I find that almost...
I'm not shoulder shrugging because I've never heard anything about experimenting on beagles.
That's just a thing. And I wonder, the reason why... liberals and conservatives don't get along is because it's like liberals live in their world. They listen to their voices, their trusted voices. But here's the problem. Conservatives actually hear your voices. They hear CNN and MSNBC. But we also do the Dreaded thing, and we follow what happens, or we listen to what happens from, say, Tucker Carlson or some other conservative commentators, a lot of independents. And what they say is often underreported, if reported at all. And it's there. It happens. And yet, for some reason, the liberal media chooses not to report the full story. And that is where we have a problem.
Yeah, because the flip side of that is that the conservative media is just reporting a bunch of nonsense with an agenda.
Okay, so would almost ask, give me an example of that, and let's talk about that. What would be a good example?
It's the The election was stolen.
Oh, okay. Well, from the conservative point of view, there were a lot of anomalies. A case in point, the most recent one, the 2020...
Do you believe the election was stolen?
I think that there was a lot of anomalies that I would like to investigate it, sure. Like,
do you think it was stolen?
Can I chime in with Rivers is done?
Sure. Do you think it was stolen, Gary?
I think what...
I was just going to finish up my thought here and just say, it's almost like career suicide when you say it's stolen. I would say that there was a lot of anomalies, and for some reason, there was a push to just kind of pass things, to not give it a fair hearing. And as a result, a lot of conservatives just kind of, then you're just breeding conservative, or not conservative, but conspiracy theory, because people are going, what are you hiding? This was not fairly arbitrated and discussed or negotiated.
But there were not a lot of anomalies.
Again, this is where it's underreported. I think that there were a lot, and I don't think
they were reported very, very explicitly. You know, lawsuits in every state that lost, and all the things that they were making accusations about without proof. It certainly was reported. Anomalies were reported and debunked.
Here's what conservatives mean when they say the election was stolen. What they mean is that the Democrats used the pandemic as an excuse to change voting laws unconstitutionally within the states, because under the premise that people could not go to the polls because we have this horrible virus, which turns out actually has had a very low fatality rate. The young and healthy children were virtually at no more risk to COVID than they would be by influenza. But the Democrats, largely Democrat governors, shut down their states, exaggerated the COVID virus to change voting laws, just like they did to shut down businesses. And it was that the voting laws were changed, mail-in voting, like it had never been done before, drop boxes, ballot harvesting, that was never done before in this country. And that, we believe, is what allowed Biden, who can't even distinguish between his sister and his wife, to get elected by 80 million votes, more than Barack Obama got, if you can believe that Joe Biden, the guy who...
Yeah, I do believe that, because people were voting against Trump. And, you know, it seems to me that that's what the conservative arguments about the election boil down to. We just can't believe that you people would have voted for Biden because Biden is so terrible. And with that as a baseline, everything else falls into place, because it's just an unbelievable conclusion. So there must be reasons for something you can't believe.
Well, I'll give you that. Trump was... the media did a really good job in vilifying Trump every chance they got. And it would have been amazing had he won, given that the whole media establishment was against him and just attacked him relentlessly.
Perhaps it would be amazing if he won because he led an insurrection on the Capitol.
Now, there we go. That wasn't an insurrection. There wasn't an insurrection.
There we go. Yeah, come on. You know, and that's the thing. Can I just butt in here?
Of course. That,
okay, so you have a few hundred crazies, right? That's not an insurrection. Most of the people that were at the Capitol that day were not violent. Were not, as you guys like to say, mostly peaceful protest. There were a few.
It looked to me like there were thousands of people that were violent.
And yet, here's the thing. In your media, what you always see is the violent, you know, the pushing up against the fence, that kind of stuff, where there was bombs. There were not so much bombs. Sorry, the the police being pushed and things like that. But inside the Capitol, you have people that look like they're actually taking a stroll through they're having like a tourist moment. And they're just walking through the Capitol building very peacefully, by the way.
When you say you see, that's not what I see.
Well, and that's just the thing. That's why I say the media is not reporting the full story. It emphasizes the violence, and there was a little, or a lot, or however you want to say it. But
yeah,
people died,
injured. They're wiping feces on the wall. They're breaking into offices, breaking into the Senate chambers.
But Daryl, who died? The conservative.
The only person who died was Ashley Babbitt. The only person who died as a direct result on the day, January 6th, was an unarmed female veteran shot in cold blood by Capitol Hill
policemen. The injured policeman that died a day later, you don't count him because that's a day later.
And it wasn't proven that he...
Daryl, it wasn't proven that he died from his injuries. He died...
This is the crazy that we hear. Appreciate that even though most of the people in our syndicate and your editors are not on board with the positions that you strongly hold, we do post your cartoons and very rarely kill one of your cartoons. I mean, I kill your cartoons at the rate of as many as I would kill from anybody else. Appreciate that we want to have all views in our syndicate, but the stuff that I hear as crazy, when it's into your cartoons, the cartoons just don't get printed. You should be aware of that. I don't need to kill anything because the editors just don't run it.
And that's why I've never done an Ashley Babbitt cartoon, because I'm aware that most of the people out there are not being given the true facts that she was shot in cold blood. She wasn't a threat to the Capitol Hill policeman on the other side of the door at all. She was 130-pound woman, unarmed. But that's why I didn't do a cartoon on that, because again, I knew instinctively that it's not going to get picked up.
So Daryl, do you think that the media, it does give you the entire truth? Do you think that you get every angle, especially when it comes to you're talking about January 6th? Do you think that you saw all the videos you need to see? Do you ever question certain people, Ray Epps, why it is that a guy who's yelling at people to go into the Capitol is not arrested for inciting violence? And yet the conservatives say, well, this guy looks like he was FBI or paid by the FBI. And the liberals say, well, he was nobody, just leave him alone. And why is it that the January 6th
I've got to say, I haven't really studied my conservative conspiracy theory on this, and I'm not really familiar with Ray Epps.
Again, and this is where you just proved my point. You absolutely just proved my point, because Ray Epps is a key figure. And he was a guy who literally, he was yelling at people to go into the Capitol. And for some reason, the media does not report on these things. What you saw was half the story. And I saw
thousands of people. I mean, that looks like more than half to me.
And yet,
we've got lots more provocative cartoons to go through.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of entirely different worldview for us to deal with. So, Gary, here's your cartoon, Super Spreader, and you've got Democrat Donkey, and he's spreading the poo-poo, which is labeled COVID fear BS, across his green lawn. Tell us about this one. I should say, anytime that you have poo-poo in a cartoon, no secrets.
Okay, darn. I have like 100 poo-poo cartoons in my archives I was waiting to crank out. No, this one's we went over this, pretty extensively, but this is just another take of mine on the COVID poo-poo that's been spread throughout the so-called pandemic. So that's all that is, basically.
Okay. Here is Pete's cartoon, Linus and Sally in the Pumpkin Patch. Good Halloween cartoon. Linus says, tonight is the night the great bipartisan pumpkin will come. And Sally thinks,
he's lost it.
Yeah.
I'm sure this one got preprinted a lot.
Yeah, I think it got in your top 10 for that week. And again, pretty neutral, just commenting on how bipartisanship is rare in DC nowadays and using the timeless Linus in the pumpkin patch. So it was fun to draw.
Very. Here we've got the old couple at home. Old man's looking out the window. He's got his skillet and his spatula. And wife is looking at the newspaper that says there's high inflation. And the old man says,
let's hope some kids egg our house so I can go scrape it off for supper.
Boy, cartoonists have been loving the expense of eggs.
I don't know if the egg prices were up when I did this or if it was just related to the general inflation prices for food. But it was, again, something I could do that was timely for Halloween and tie it into the inflation food prices as well.
Okay, here you've got the guy at the lemonade stand and he's taken off all his clothes and his wallet and his credit card and his watch. And he says,
okay, $20 cash, credit cards, my suit and Rolex, inflation.
And the little kid says,
enjoy your lemonade.
Lemonade's getting expensive too. I'm sure this one was quite popular.
Yeah, again, just a fun gag type cartoon idea to do.
So Rivers, this is your most popular cartoon ever with editors. Yeah. Here you've got two black pots labeled left and right. Biden is in the left pot and Biden says to the MAGA guy in the right pot, he says, you've become more extreme over the years.
Right.
It's a beautiful looking cartoon, very graphically clean. I love this cartoon.
Thanks. This is one of those things where this isn't a cartoon that I would have picked. In fact, I don't think I did pick this one. But
it was by far your most popular cartoon.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not one that I'm particularly like excited about. I guess I get more passionate about the other cartoons in which I think I'm really making a statement because I'm an editorial cartoonist, right? But this one would be popular with a lot of editors, given where newspapers are at today.
Here's your second most popular cartoon. It's Santa, and he's looking at his complex dashboard on his sleigh, and the little elf is trying to look at where to plug it in. And he says,
I don't think we thought this electric version through.
And of course, it's Christmas. I mean, that's the 6 weeks of cartoons that editors want the most.
And that's the thing. Around Christmas, I tend to get a little bit more, you know, warm and fuzzy as well. I tend to lay off the heavy-handed editorial comments and just kind of stick to something that's something that everyone can kind of agree with.
And your drawings are beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Okay, your third most popular cartoon. You've got the couple. They're looking at the floor, and man says, "It's so hot, the pavement didn't just fry the egg; it made it into a little quiche. Put a little parsley besides it." Oh, of course, they love this one. They love the cartoons about it's so hot or it's so cold.
Mm-hmm,
and again, it's all on fire.
Yeah, totally non-political. And again, that doesn't surprise me.
Here, I'm going into your Biden cartoons. You've got Biden coming up on the turkey like a lady that he snuggles up to who just happens to be in the room. And he says, you smell good. And the turkey thinks, kill me now. I think that's funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's tons of images of Biden sniffing people, whether it's older women or young girls or even young boys. And within conservative media, we see it all the time. And even on social media, he's sniffing everybody. And that's why he's called Creepy Joe. But
this is funny. And it's always in this image, which is coming up on the back of the neck with the hand on the shoulder.
Yeah, he seems to have a thing for it. I don't know. I guess I should just keep my comment to myself on that one.
Here you've got Biden, and he's got his hand on the doggie sitting in the chair. The doggie's got the label FBI, and Biden says, who's daddy's good boy? Because in the conservative view, the FBI is the lapdog in the conspiracy going after the conservatives.
Well, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I actually think that they have been weaponized. And I think even some of these congressional hearings, with regards to the FBI and how they treat conservatives has been somewhat revealing.
Well, why would you not call it a conspiracy if it's multiple people working toward an illicit purpose?
I think it's just a bias. I wouldn't call it a conspiracy. I don't think that they meet behind closed doors and say, let's get the conservatives. I think it's just a bias. Although we did see, by the way, with the Twitter files, that it was a conspiracy. And so since I can remember when, I was always told that I was a conspiracy theorist when I would say that the conservatives were being wrongly targeted and banned off social media, when in fact the Twitter files prove exactly what we've been saying for the last 7 years. And so another conspiracy theory goes, you know, down in smoke and becomes conspiracy fact. It's the
well,
same thing with
Kegel Cartoons is mainstream media, and we haven't banned you guys.
Oh, of course
not. We love you guys.
Yes, and I thank you for that. I mean, it's obviously, you know, there's not every you know, social media out there, but it is obviously with the Twitter files, we see in the emails exactly what went on. And so with Garland's testimony, he looked like, the guy, I've never seen anybody shake so badly. And it was just, I think it's just because it came to light the stuff that he's, With regards to the Mar-a-Lago raid, it appears that it was quite a controversy within the FBI.
I watched the same thing, and he seemed like a reasonable guy to me. And the screaming Republicans sounded like the nuts. We watched the same things and see something different.
Yeah, no, I definitely saw a lot of squeamishness there. But
here you got Biden walking away from nuclear mushroom cloud, and he says, because provoking a third world war with nuclear powers is way better than mean tweets.
Right. And of course, that's referring to Trump with the mean tweets. And I think we talked a little bit about that before taping. Seems to me that with Biden, if it weren't for Biden being president, we probably wouldn't be in the situations we're in with regards to Russia and even the economy with high inflation. I have my explanations for that too, but I'm sure you'd probably disagree.
Yeah, I don't see him provoking a third world war, but you do that. These cartoons about the last year being so terrible, those are always beloved New Year's cartoons. And here you've got all kinds of crazy stuff happening in 2023. So far, so good with the monsters and nutty Spider-Man.
I used to be a big Spider-Man fan. We all get our start, and with me, it was drawing Spider-Man. I just decided to draw Spider-Man for whatever reason, and so that image came first. And I'm very lazy, by the way, so I decided, well, how could I put this into an editorial cartoon? And I think it was at the beginning of the year, and I thought that the past year, 2022, was absolutely nutty. Quite frankly, if you look at the past month alone, we've already had, like, you know, flying objects experience with the balloons and the shoot downs and stuff. So that's already on my bingo card. That's been hit. So far, the meteor of death hasn't happened, but you never know. It's the year is young. And you've got, Uncle Sam is a clown. And sometimes it seems like a clown world, right, with what's going on. So, yeah, this was a really fun one to do. It's one of my favorites, and yet
it's fun, and it's neither liberal or conservative because everybody thinks the world is going crazy. And so here's Uncle Sam at the psychiatric hospital. He's feeding the pigeons, and the doctors are observing him, saying,
"He used to be a world leader. Then he started hating the color of his skin, his family history, and stopped believing in God. Now he's on suicide watch."
Mm-hmm. That's a short description of liberals.
It really comes down to how I see the U.S. today. I think that if it continues to go in the direction it's going, it's not going to end well. And it's like insanity, because we had the greatest country in the world. We had unity. And for some reason, this constant picking at ourselves and picking at our history and picking at everything that we ever were and all of our values, it's self-hatred. And unfortunately, I don't see a good end for this. And as Jesus said, and I know that the people will have questions about, Jesus, but He did say that a house divided cannot stand. And that's what we're seeing with the U.S. today.
And Gary, you, of course, agree with all that.
Yeah, I'm sitting here wishing I had a Bic lighter so I could hold it up in the air.
Okay, here's Uncle Sam. He's sitting in the position of Rodin's The Thinker sculpture. And it says The Thinker. And Uncle Sam is thinking, 20 years later, two wasted wars, multiple failed states, thousands dead, trillions wasted. What am I doing wrong?
Exactly. And again, you know, this is almost rides on the coattails of the other one. I've been thinking a lot about the future of the United States. And quite frankly, I'm going short on the U.S. Of course, I've always heard, never bet against the U.S. And I still believe that in, you know, my heart of hearts. But there's a part of me that really worries about where we're going and where we're what's going to happen in the next 10 years if we continue with the self-hatred, if we continue with the demonization of each side. There's not going to be a country.
Here we've got a six-panel cartoon and we have enemies, right?
Well, this
the
one.
Elephant talking to each other. And the elephant says, Canada had an election. Voter IDs were required to vote. No mail-in ballots without registration and approval. No voter machines. No late-night shenanigans. And the donkey says,
geez, how can anyone steal an election? Heh, hypothetically speaking, of course.
And of course, you agree with that, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything wholeheartedly, 100%.
All right. So here's a very creepy character in the little girl's room, and he's got tattoos that say Facebook logo, addiction, depression, self-esteem issues, suicide. And he's saying to the little girl, Mark Zuckerberg sent me. I'm your new babysitter. She's sitting there with her computer, presumably on Facebook. It's a dangerous world.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a parent. And when my daughter was that age, I was always concerned about online predators. I think that was a reaction to there was a Facebook study that revealed that that usage did increase suicide for young people, especially young girls. And so that was a reaction to that, we shouldn't be leaving our children with Mark Zuckerberg or anybody else for that matter. We should be taking a more active role as parents with our kids.
And of course, this is the either left or right cartoon, and I'll bet this one got pretty well reprinted.
Mm-hmm.
And here you got the two little kids looking up at two little lovebirds on a branch, and little boy says,
I'm thankful for everything, even small things.
This is like a Hallmark card. It's a lovely little drawing, and I can see editors loving this.
Yeah, and
was this a Valentine's Day card?
No, this was Thanksgiving. And for some reason,
because he's thankful.
I'm sorry. Yes, he's thankful.
It's Thanksgiving, and he's thankful.
Yes, absolutely. And I do like this one because it's kind of heartwarming. And even though I might come across a little bit like a right-wing conspiracy theorist, I actually do, love and cherish children. And I'd like to think that I have good values.
Okay, here you are in the boardroom. News division profits are down. And the old CEO says, here's a novel idea. How about we start reporting the truth? Think we can imagine that? This one looks more like a left-wing cartoon about Fox.
But, you know, if you look at what's happening in the news industry, it's Washington Post has lost like 500,000 subscribers since Trump left. They've also been in the midst of some mass layoffs. That's true for a lot of newspapers across the board, especially in liberal newspapers. But in an alternate universe, what's happening on the conservative side is you have news organizations like Newsmax that are growing exponentially. And
Newsmax has certainly seen a crash, and they were platformed by DirecTV, which was like 90% of their income. And they're just, there's a question of whether they're viable at all. I wouldn't be surprised if Fox ceases to exist when they lose the Dominion lawsuit.
Yeah, there's a lot that can happen between now and then, and certainly in the discovery, there's been some things that have come up.
When you talk about the newspapers cutting back, that is universal across almost all newspapers.
Well, I'm thinking it's only a couple of years before somebody writes a nice algorithm for doing editorial cartoons, and then we're going to be
straight. I think the next thing that's going to happen is we get all of these submissions from people can't draw. And that's kind of a baseline, you know. There aren't that many people that draw well and can draw a cartoon, but everybody thinks they're a writer. You can have all these people that can suddenly put in a lovely drawn cartoon, and then they're going to be putting their whatever their point of view is on it. And we're just going to be inundated with that. We get people submitting memes to us. They'll steal a photograph on the web. They'll put their words on top of it. Then they'll want us to syndicate their words on top of their stolen art. That's what I see happening. And then the question for us is, if somebody writes good cartoons and they're using AI, is that something we should consider? I'm kind of disinclined to consider that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd also like to add to the point to this cartoon that part of my thinking was that what we're seeing is a distrust of journalism.
Here you've got a lovely looking dragon that's China just about to eat Taiwan for lunch. And it says, meanwhile, as the world focuses on Russia, China is about to chew up Taiwan. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely drawing.
Yeah, and it's kind of like an ongoing fear that you have that one day we're going to have to face this monster. Because China is definitely, and even now, I mean, more so, they're starting to beat the war drums more over Taiwan. And being
Look at the cartoons by our Chinese cartoonist, Luo Qi?
Yeah, he's actually really, really a great cartoonist. I love his work.
He's an excellent cartoonist, but he is quite the propagandist for China.
I've seen that, and yes.
I was thinking of having a podcast just to talk about Luo Ji's work, because some of it I think is pretty shocking to Americans and be an interesting topic. That would be. But I move on. You've got big tech with its giant sword looking like a big Roman warrior, and he's got John Q. Public stabbed at the end of the sword, and John Q. Public says, whatever happened to do no evil?
Can I tell you what happened here? So this is one of those ones that's almost prophetic, right? Because at the time, everybody was saying that the GOP is going to have this red wave. It's going to be great. You know, they're going to take over the House. They're going to blow out the Senate. It's going to be amazing. And I kept thinking to myself, these guys are going to screw up. They always screw up. There's one thing. If there's one thing you can count on, it's death, taxes, and the GOP screwing up. Because it seems like they're a bunch of morons. And, well, was I right? This was drawn months before. I was right. So I actually reposted it because I thought, you know, this is exactly what they do. They fumble every time.
It does seem like Democrats do a lot of fumbling. Oh, here is Liz Cheney as a rhino, Republican in name only. And it says, Liz Cheney now has the floor. I love the way that you handled her glasses.
Yeah. You know, this is one of those ones that I don't know why I like it, but I do. And I think it's because it kind of looks like
her. This is a name-calling cartoon.
It is.
You find that name-calling cartoons tend to not perform very well.
Yeah, although the drawing.
It seems that's something that the editors discern. And even if it's somebody they want a name-call against, they usually don't go with just the name-calling. But it's a lovely drawing. And the glasses made me laugh.
Yeah. I think the cartoon has merit just for that reason. I mean, obviously, the editors are going to pan it because it's obviously highly political. But I think that she's proven herself to be somewhat of a rhino amongst conservatives. And this
is. Red Wave cartoon is a cute one. But, you know, this was quite the Yahtzee. I think we got about
it. Oh, yeah. There's tons after that. I hate to say it, I was the first.
I give you credit for being first.
Yeah, by quite a wide margin, too. There were cartoons that looked exactly like that, like 3 days later. I'm like, hey, guys, it's already been done, but it was a popular image, right? And it's kind of like the most obvious one. I don't get any marks for originality on this. This is kind of like...
You do get marks for originality, because when you draw it first, editors run your cartoon, and all those guys that are late, their cartoon doesn't get run. So
Yeah, Well, I'd argue it's just it's a stereotypical image. There's nothing, you know, it's not particularly insightful or great. It was just one of those, well, where's the red wave, right? It was just like
Well, here you've got the groundhog talking to a disinterested bear with his hand in the honey jar. The groundhog says,
"Do you have any idea the amount of pressure I'm under? Millions of people rely on me to make or break their plans for spring."
And the bear says, "Dude, you work like one day a year." I'm sure they love that one. I didn't check the stats, but I'll bet that's a big performer.
So the history on that one was, again, it's almost like a little sketchbook one where I was sitting there with my partner watching TV. And I often have my iPad out with Procreate. And I'll just be sketching. And this one was kind of like, it was a little tiny thumbnail. It was so tiny, but I was just drawing this bear. And then of course, the groundhog, I kind of made it work for an editorial cartoon because, of course, I like to maximize on my drawing and kind of lazy that way. But the reason why I really like this cartoon is it's different than my normal style. It's more of it's almost like an old English book illustration style, which I don't know why it kind of strikes me that way, but it does. So that's why I like it, because it's not my usual crap.
And here you've got George Washington holding the newspaper that says, "Wither America 246 years later." Again, this is neither left or right. Both sides would agree with this one. It's the world is going to hell cartoon.
I kind of explained myself earlier on that.
Sure. And here you've got a UFO, and the alien standing below the UFO says,
"We traveled 300 light years to destroy your species, but then we watched your news broadcasts and realized you're doing it for us."
I just realized I should probably be taking Prozac because I've been doing a lot of end of the world kind of things, end of the USA.
These are the cartoons you selected. It was the end of the world you had on your.
I know. It seems to be a theme here, doesn't it?
It does.
I'd like to just say, encouraging Daryl. We've known each other back in the NCS days, you know, and I've joined your syndicate, 16 whatever years ago, and you know, we've hung out at conventions and in France, but I never really knew. One thing I've found out from talking to you today is that we kind of live in different worlds, and the things that I thought you would know that I know from conservative media, you're unaware of, and maybe vice versa. So it kind of sheds a light a little bit, because I've always thought, you know, Daryl's such a smart guy. He's a nice guy. How can he be such a crazy liberal? But now I know why, because you just don't get the same news that I do.
How do you guys ever learn about the Dominion lawsuit, since that's never been mentioned on Fox?
Do you watch Fox? Do you watch Tucker Carlson?
You know, I have a predisposition to like Tucker Carlson, because when we were just starting off with our best political cartoons of the year's books, he was working for MSNBC and he was very nice and he wanted to be a columnist for us. And MSNBC said no. And he wrote a lovely foreword for our political cartoons of the year book. We put his name real big on the cover, and he was the nicest guy, and he was a cartoon fan. And my experience with him has just been that he's a lovely, charming guy. But I watch him on TV and I'm disturbed.
Okay. So do you actually routinely watch him?
Mostly I flip back and forth. They've got this channel on DirecTV, which shows you all the news channels at once. Mm-hmm. And I flip back and forth on them constantly through the day as I sit at my desk. So I don't really have any shows that I watch in particular. I just flip.
Yeah, I think Tucker is kind of like the gateway drug for conservatism. Because if you were to watch more Tucker and less some of the other some of the nutcases on MSNBC and CNN, you would find that you would begin to get a better insight into the conservative mind and why they think the way they think.
But you wouldn't know anything about that Dominion lawsuit.
Well, I think maybe I don't know if they've okay. So Full disclosure here, I actually don't have a Fox News account. I don't watch Fox News as much as I probably would like to. But I do know that the Dominion thing, obviously they're going to avoid because they're in litigation. So for that reason, I can imagine that they're not going to say anything that's going to inflame it. But that said, there's plenty of other conservative stories that you would get a better insight if you were to, you know, just kind of spend some time listening to Tucker or some of these other
guys. I do spend quite a bit of time watching Fox as I flip back and forth, and they do seem pretty crazy when I land there. And you certainly do see the difference. I mean, you see the difference in the Ukraine coverage is much less on Fox than there is on the other channels. Stories. It's just a very dramatic difference between the coverage.
Oh, absolutely. And a good example would be the 3 years of Russiagate with Trump. So the question is, you had Rachel Maddow and some of these other people going full on like Trump is 100% guilty of colluding with Putin. You had a $30 million investigation with Mueller, and he came up with nothing. And yet the news organizations that you probably watch the most not only won Pulitzers for the fake coverage, but they continued with the narrative that was debunked. It was pretty much over.
Yeah, I didn't hear it as being debunked. It sounded pretty convincing to me. It led to an impeachment that had a pretty close vote.
Right. But the impeachment...
There was a lot of substance to that. And Mueller didn't find it without substance. He found that he was not in a position to take action on it. It was a legal decision. So, I certainly don't see any of that. And I did watch Fox on that. And I certainly did see the difference in coverage. And I wouldn't describe it the way you described it, mm-hmm. as nothing there. I saw plenty there.
Daryl, okay. Does the left-leaning media that you watched, did it cover Biden threatening to withhold foreign aid to Ukraine unless they fired the investigator looking into Burisma? Because that's basically what Trump got impeached for, was a phone mm-hmm. call. And that's one of the contrasts that conservatives see as a pretty glaring, that Biden's in on air on video.
Well, it wasn't just a phone call. Bragging. It was firing the ambassador there. It was Rudy Giuliani's hijinks over there. It was a long process of trying to twist the arms of the Ukrainians to go after Hunter Biden. It was a lot over a long period of time.
Well, like I said, we'll probably never totally agree on that, but it seems to me when a vice president is bragging about basically blackmailing, extorting a foreign country to do his bidding, that should be worthy of at least as much scrutiny and punishment as what Trump was impeached over. But again, that's what makes us who we are.
I didn't get that out of the story at all. We do have these different worlds.
True.
Yeah. And that's actually why I'm somewhat concerned, because as long as we have these two different, incredibly different paradigms of information, misinformation, we can never, ever really have solidarity or agree on anything.
You know, one that I thought was interesting recently was Biden's State of the Union address. And I was busy doing my flipping back and forth right after the speech to get a sense of what the different channels were saying. And, you know, immediately after the speech, you had Brit Hume on Fox saying, look at this guy. He's senile. He can't even string his sentences together. What a demonstration of what a unfit president he is. And then I flipped to the other channels and they were all singing his praises. What a strong speech. Look how he put the Republicans in their place. And, you know, I watched it myself and I did not see what Fox saw. It just didn't exist. But, you know, when you come on top of something that everybody sees and then you redefine it and you've built up this trust with the people who are doing the redefining, that, so you tend to believe them. That's how it all works.
We're going to convert you yet. It's going to take time, but you'll eventually be red-pilled like us. And I think that you'll start to see things our way as soon as we can kind of show you where you've not been properly given the news.
Well, you've gone mad, Rivers.
But everybody's going to remember me as this nutcase with a mask. And not only do I have conspiracy theories, but I also, you know, have this really crazy hair and this weird mask.
Well, that is absolutely true. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. And this Kegelcast is available in both audio and video versions. To view the images from the podcast or to access the video version, visit darylkegel.com, see the entire archive of both Rivers and Gary McCoy's cartoons on Kegel.com. And if you're going to subscribe, go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, because that's where we'd like to build up our numbers. And if you don't want to miss a podcast, look at the front page of Kegel.com or DarylKegel.com. And I hope you won't miss a podcast. And we will bring Rivers and Gary McCoy back. I'd also like to bring you guys back with Dick Wright, if we can get him to do this, another of our conservative cartoonists.
Sure.
And we have conservative columnists, and I'd like to invite the columnists to come on too, make them feel like they're a little more part of the group, and they should feel more at home with you than they would with me and some of our liberal cartoonists. So maybe we can have some more conservative podcasts going forward, and I'll try to not speak my mind quite so much so you can have a kind of a conservative feeling to it.
Sounds fun, Daryl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, great. So we'll have you back and we'll do it again. And thank you, gentlemen. And I will see you later. And thanks for being with us for this lovely podcast.
Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you.
See you, Rivers.
See you, Gary.